Jovan Buha! Buha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, I want to discuss one of the biggest decisions of LA's offseason, the path that they choose to build the roster. Now, I did this to a degree on the offseason guide episode, so I would point you in that direction if you have not listened to that yet. That is 40 minutes on the Lakers offseason, everything you need to know, an offseason overview, key dates, LA's trade assets, their roster, their cap situation, and then talking through various cap scenarios. But I got this question here from Turbo LSVDA9 of, hey, Jovan, maybe you could go through each plan in depth and why it would be better for the Lakers to pull off said plan, because I did not like the Giannis lineups, one injury from collapsing, honestly. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. It was always unlikely that the Lakers were going to get Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's a chance they could get involved here as a third team in a potential three-team trade with Boston or Miami. And technically, it could expand to like a four-team trade, five-team trade. We've seen six and seven-team trades recently, no pun intended. But there is a chance LA could get involved to help facilitate the deal and potentially take back some money if there is a player or two from Miami that Milwaukee doesn't want, or maybe a player from Boston that Milwaukee doesn't want, or just helping reroute things. The Lakers can be there to help facilitate it. It's difficult to talk through every single scenario and hypothetical. I said that in the offseason guide episode, just because there are so many potential pathways for LA and so many different things that they can do that we could spend an hour talking through each cap sheet, each decision. But I want to highlight with this show the key decision that LA has to make, which is whether they operate as a cap space team or as an over the cap team. And this was something that I talked about in the offseason overview and did talk about with some of the cap sheets, but I want to go through it a little bit more in depth and talk through some of the pros and cons for each pathway. So first, let's start with the cap space pathway. I think this one is the most straightforward. So if LA is just operating with the players on their cap sheet and they're keeping Austin Reeves and Jackson Hayes on their cap holds, because in the case of Austin, it's much less than he's going to make. In the case of Jackson, it's around what he's going to make. If you do that, that nets out at about $48.9 million in cap space for the Lakers. So to get to this $48.9 million, the Lakers would have rescinded the rights to LeBron James, Rui Hachimura, Luke Kennard, and Marcus Smart. Now, that does not mean those guys are gone. The Lakers can technically re-sign all of those guys, or at least some of them, with that cap space. And they also would have the $9.36 million room exception at their disposal as well. So the clear upside to the cap space path is it allows LA to add a player above the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which starts at $15 million. So if the Lakers are looking to add players that make more than $15 million, the cleanest way to make that happen is to absorb them into their cap space. They could also send outgoing salaries. We talked through a version of, do you send out Jared Vanderbilt and Dalton Knecht and some draft assets for Herb Jones and Yves Miesi, something like that. Like, you could also use Jared Vanderbilt to take on the contract of a Miles Turner or a Christian Brown, which he would offset about half of their salary. So you'd only be taking out a chunk of your cap space. But the cap space optionality is the word we'll go with here, allows the Lakers to do so many different things in terms of adding either a free agent who makes above $15 million or trading for a player who makes more than $15 million. So you could go acquire Lu Dort if OKC wants to get off of him. You could acquire Jalen Suggs if Orlando wants to get off of him. Jared Allen if Cleveland wants to get off of him. Rudy Gobert if Minnesota wants to get off of him. You have infinite possibilities in terms of what you could do with your cap space to acquire guys making more than $15 million. The reason I highlight $15 million specifically is because that is the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which you would have at your disposal if you go above the cap. So that would be your primary tool to add to the roster if you're operating above the cap. And so there's a limitation there, right? Like you're not getting Iota Sumo for $15 million. You're not getting any of the key restricted free agents for $15 million. So the upside to going the cap space route is it allows you to reshape the roster more dramatically. It allows you to sign a Walker Kessler, a Peyton Watson, a Tari Eason, a Jalen Duren, a Benedict Mathurin, someone like that. It allows you to go pursue an Iota Sumo or someone like that. It allows you to potentially sign a couple of guys, and you could go after Kelly Oubre Jr. and Mitchell Robinson, or Kelly Oubre Jr. and Robert Williams, or Iota Sumo and Robert Williams or Mitchell Robinson. Like, you can add some real pieces to the team by opening up that cap space. And then once you make those moves, you go further above the cap to re-sign Austin Reeves. And so that 20.9 becomes 35 or 38 or 40 or 42, whatever the number ends up for Austin. And now you're above the cap. You could also sign Jackson to a bigger deal, which could give you some flexibility down the road if you potentially want to trade him. So there's a lot of ways the Lakers can operate within that. And then you could also retain some of your free agents. So maybe you have that $48.9 million in cap space. DeAndre Ayton opts out, which creates an additional 8.1. That gets you to about $57 million in cap space. Maybe you do some other cost-cutting move. You get off of Dalton Connect. You get off of Jake LaRavia. You get off of Jared Vanderbilt. Depending on how much salary you dump there, that could create an additional $4 to upwards of even $22 million in cap space if you're getting rid of all three of those guys, but I think that's unlikely. But let's just say, for argument's sake, somewhere between $4 to $12 million if you get off of one more of those additional guys. So that could get you from $61 million in cap space all the way up to about $69 or $70 million in cap space. And at that point, you can sign a Kessler, a Watson, an Eason, someone like that for between 20 to 30, even upwards of like 35 million, and still have an additional 30 to 35 million in cap space to re-sign LeBron, re-sign Rui, re-sign Rui and Luke, re-sign Rui and Marcus. You also have that $9.36 million room exception. And let's say that you are able to poach Peyton Watson for $30 million or Walker Kessler for 32, something like that. You could still go offer LeBron $20, $25 million and then potentially have an additional $10 to $15 million left over to re-sign Marcus Smart. And so you add a key restricted free agent, you keep LeBron, you keep Marcus, and you would also still have that room exception to offer Luke Kennard or another player. Maybe a player wants to take a discount to play for the Lakers or to fit into a certain role for them. That is a possibility there. You would be losing Rui in this scenario. I think it is going to be tricky to add a big piece, keep LeBron and keep Rui. On some level, the Lakers might have to pick between Rui and LeBron. If they're adding a big piece, you can't really fit LeBron and Rui and Marcus in there. You have to pick between at least two of those three, but then fitting in LeBron and Rui gets a little bit tricky. So it might really come down to LeBron versus Rui to some degree if LA is also trying to add a big piece via cap space. If you go above the cap, it's a totally different scenario, which we will touch on in a moment, but wanted to talk through some of the cap space upsides. The big upside here with the cap space is this is how you add the big piece. This is how you add the RFA. This is how you add a couple of guys in unrestricted free agency. This is how you take on a player in a trade or get involved in a three-team trade and take on a player or two. Could cost some draft capital, and to get off of Jared Vanderbilt's contract, if you are trying to clear more cap space, I think that will almost certainly cost some form of draft capital, potentially a first-round pick. So that is something that the Lakers have to factor in. But if you are trying to shake up the roster, if you are trying to make some bigger improvements, the clearest way to do that is with cap space. It allows you the most flexibility to reshape the roster. And that is why I've been a proponent for it. That is why I think a lot of fans are proponents for it, is this is the way that you see the Lakers actually make some moves, change things up, and not rest on the 16-2 stretch we saw from them in March, not rest on them being the number four seed and another 51 season, losing in round two. Like, there were some things to like about last season. There are some things to be encouraged by. And I think there's a foundation that LA needs to build on. But I also don't think they should just run it back and be like, hey, here's Kelly Oubre Jr. for the non-taxpayer MLE. now we can compete with OKC and San Antonio. I just don't think that is realistic. I think if you just add a player like that, Mitchell Robinson, Robert Williams, Kelly Oubre, that's not taking you from where you currently are to above OKC or San Antonio or even on their level. I still think there's a gap there that the Lakers can only close if they are more aggressive with adding a couple of big pieces, ideally, but at least one big piece and then like another mid-tier piece. The downside, clearly, to the cap space route is it's almost certainly going to cost you some of your rotation. It could cost you LeBron. It could cost you Rui. It could cost you Marcus. It could cost you Luke. It could cost you some combination of those guys. So the cap space route has some clear upside in terms of shaking up the roster, in terms of making some big additions potentially, but it also has the downside of you are almost certainly going to lose people, because if you're going to retain everybody with the cap space, you should just go over the cap. So if you do want to run it back and retain basically the entire rotation and just try to make a couple tweaks, going over the cap is the pathway to do that. And so choosing the cap space is acknowledging you're going to lose somebody. Is that LeBron because you're not getting to a high enough number that he feels respected or that checks the box of what he feels he should be making? Is it Rui because maybe LeBron is back and you just don't see where Rui fits in if LeBron is back and you're trying to address these other needs? Is it Marcus because there's a bit of a cap squeeze and you view Rui as a longer term piece? He's younger than Marcus. He's healthier than Marcus. And so you want to prioritize Rui over Marcus, and maybe that costs you Marcus. Is it Luke, who I think is probably the most likely of the four to not be back if we're just, you know, setting the odds here? You're going to prioritize the other three with using the cap space, so maybe you could get him with the room exception. But just talking through the different scenarios here, like, clearly the upside with cap space is the flexibility to add to the roster and to add some big pieces. The downside is losing someone or losing potentially multiple people. And now if we turn our attention to LA operating above the cap, this is the way that a lot of the reporting has been leaning. If you look at several of the things that have come out, whether it's LA prioritizing keeping Rui and keeping Jackson, there's also been reports about them prioritizing keeping Luke. There's also been talk about the free agent class is weak and that the best way to operate is via trade, and that the Lakers believe in what they have and they think some of the defensive concerns are overrated. And so there's been a lot of smoke in terms of LA potentially running it back, prioritizing keeping some of their players. And I think there's something legitimately here based on the intel that I have received. It seems like operating above the cap is a real consideration here for LA, if not the most likely scenario right now. So the benefit to operating above the cap is that the Lakers can retain most of their core while still having some flexibility to add to it. The most likely scenario would be you retain LeBron, not quite at like the $50 million he might want, but somewhere in the $20 to $30 million range, maybe upwards of 35 at the most, but you can pay LeBron a little bit more than the cap space route. You can retain Rui, $18, $19, $20 million. I don't think you go above that. You can retain Luke, I think somewhere in like the $8 to $9 million range. I don't think you want to go above that. And then for Marcus, this is where it gets a little tricky though. This is, I think, a downside of the above the cap, is that for Marcus, the most you can offer him is about $6.3 million with his non-bird rights. So you'd have to use your $15 million non-taxpayer MLE on Marcus to retain him. You don't have to use all of it. You could use part of it. You could use $10 million of it, $11, $12 million. But that is taking away a roster building tool at the expense of retaining Marcus. Whereas with the cap space, you could just use the cap space on him or potentially the room exception. Whereas this path, you can only offer him a vet minimum, the 6.3 non-bird rights deal, or the part of the non-taxpayer MLE, which I think the Lakers would have to do. So if you go above the cap, you retain LeBron, you retain Rui, you retain Luke, and maybe you use part of that exception on Marcus, or you use that exception on an Oubre, a Robinson, a Williams. You bring in someone to help address the center spot or help address the wing spot. And then depending on where you're at, depending on Austin's final number with his contract, because that would matter a little bit more in this scenario, LeBron's number, Rui's number, Luke's number, and what you do with the exception. Then you see where you're at in terms of the tax and the first apron. If you do use that non-taxpayer MLE, you will be hard capped at the first apron of about $209 million. So you cannot go above that $209 million. One thing that I've not seen discussed with the above the cap pathway that I think could be an incentive for LA to go this route of locking in some of your key guys, potentially even using that non-taxpayer MLE or part of it on Marcus. And then you still, if you get Marcus at like 10 million, you still have 5 million to play with for another player, which is more than the vet minimum. So you can outbid some guys in that minimum range. But one of the benefits is you can still acquire players onto your cap sheet as long as you're staying under the first apron. So one scenario, maybe my favorite scenario, if LA is going to go above the cap, is there's a way for LA to retain Austin, re-sign LeBron, re-sign Rui, re-sign Marcus for that non-taxpayer MLE, re-sign Luke with his bird rights, and keep Jackson and keep the number 25 pick, and then add Walker Kessler. And the cost would be high. So here, if you look at this cap sheet, I have Luke on the books, Austin making 40, which is, I think, where his contract is going to end up being at about 40 million AAV. So maybe that number's even lower here, but for argument's sake, I just put 40. Walker Kessler at 30, that could also be a little low. So maybe we say Austin's at 37, 38, Walker's at 32, but let's just keep it simple. Keep it around 70 million combined for those two. LeBron at 25, which is probably not where he wants it, but still more than just about anyone else can offer him. Rui at 18, Marcus at 10.5, which is part of that non-taxpayer MLE. Luke at 8, Jake LaRavia still on his $6 million deal, Jackson Hayes on a $6 million deal, DK still on his 4.2, the number 25 pick is signed to a $3.3 million deal, minimum salary of 2.5, Bronny at his 2.3, Adu at his 2.2, and with all of that, you are at $207.4 million, which is $1.6 million under the first apron. You would be hard capped both because you're using the non-taxpayer MLE and you are acquiring a player via sign and trade. So you would be stuck there. And in this scenario, you'd be sending out an unprotected 2031 first to Utah for Kessler in the sign and trade. You'd also be attaching a top 16 protected 2033 first to Chicago to dump Vando into part of their cap space. And the reason it's top 16 protected is because of the new lottery rules. You cannot top 12 to top 15 protect something, or you can't put protections in that range of 12 to 15. So it's got to be either top 11 or top 16. And so I'm heavily protecting this pick, and it is more likely than not going to stay in LA. I guess it depends where LA is at in 2033. And then DeAndre Ayton opts out because you did your due diligence and you let DeAndre Ayton know, hey, we're moving in on Walker Kessler. We're figuring out a sign and trade. You'll no longer be our starting center. We think it makes more sense for you to opt out and go get money elsewhere. So DA opts out. So you get off of Vando, you get off of DA, you do give up two first round picks in this process overall to add in Kessler and to dump Vando. And then this is what the cap sheet looks like. I've not heard people discuss this scenario in which the Lakers could sign and trade with someone being above the cap, or even just acquire someone onto their cap sheet being above the cap. It's a scenario I myself have not discussed, but as I played with cap sheets and started to see, like, every dollar will matter. So that's where, if you look at, again, if Austin's making 40 versus 41, or if he's making 35 versus 41, that will have a say here, as LA is 1.6 million under the hard cap, under the first apron. LeBron's salary will matter. Rui's salary will matter. Marcus's salary will matter. And how much of that non-taxpayer MLE LA uses will matter. Luke's salary, et cetera, et cetera. So you could also try to dump Jake or Dalton. And maybe there's a team that's willing to just take one of those guys on for like a second or something. And you could create some more cap flexibility that way, some more breathing room. The clear downside to going above the cap, in my opinion, is you can address a need, but it's difficult to address all of your needs. You can find a way to sign and trade for the Kessler or the Watson or the Eason, or you can take on Lou Dort, or you could do Vando plus something plus a draft asset for Herb and Misi, or Herb and Sadiq Bey, something like that. And you can address a need. You can go get the wing, you can go get the center, but you're not getting both. There's just so many moving parts with this that as we go through each pathway, each scenario, more doors open, more hypotheticals open, and we could continue to talk through each theoretical decision forever. But I just wanted to talk through a little bit going above the cap versus going under the cap, which again, in summation, I think going above the cap, you have the ultimate optionality, the ultimate flexibility, and you could add some real pieces, even potentially a couple of big pieces that are making above that $15 million non-taxpayer MLE. It's the most direct way to address the center need and the wing need, or to address some of the bench depth needs. The way to really address some of the keys for the roster, in my opinion, is by using the cap space. And again, you can sign restricted free agents, you can sign unrestricted free agents, you can acquire guys into your cap space, you could just make straight up trades of players for players, you could also act as a third team. There are a bunch of different avenues to using that cap space. The downside is it means you're almost certainly going to lose a rotation player, if not multiple rotation players, and you will have a loss of continuity and a loss of some of the ingredients that worked this past season. It also runs out quicker than you think. So you hear some of these numbers, 50 million, 60 million, 70 million. You think you're going to add all these players. And I see it when people propose hypothetical scenarios for the offseason. It's like you run out of the cap space pretty quickly, especially if you are retaining LeBron or Rui or Marcus. And then if we look at being above the cap, the upside is you get to retain your core from last season for the most part, with the possibility of adding in a player with that non-taxpayer MLE or even trading for someone, depending on how the math works and if you are under that first apron. The downside is it could cost you Marcus this way unless you are willing to use that non-taxpayer MLE on Marcus, and you are kind of running it back to some degree. You're not able to plug as many holes as you could with your cap space. So maybe you address the center spot, maybe you address the wing spot, but I think it's going to be difficult to address every need you have, and you're going to have to make some sort of compromise with how you build the roster. So between the two, I still prefer the cap space route and shaking up the Lakers core, shaking up the rotation a bit more dramatically, really trying to find some guys above that $15 million range that can help and see if you could even add a couple of those guys. But based on the reporting that's been out there, based on some of the intel that I've heard, there is a chance that the Lakers choose to operate above the cap, run it back to a degree, and then see with that non-taxpayer MLE or potentially with some of the trade options out there, if they can add a piece or two and stay under that first apron. And so we shall see what the Lakers ultimately decide. We could have some real movement here heading into the 2026 draft on next Tuesday and Wednesday. Giannis could potentially be moved. There could always be a mystery player that ends up getting moved. Could the Lakers get involved with that? And that could tip their hand in terms of what they're planning to do with their cap space, or if they're planning to operate above the cap or not. So we will learn within the next week or so an inkling of where LA's at. There's also the matter of LeBron and what he wants. Austin, not so much because they're going to keep him on the cap hold, but then Rui and his market, Marcus and his market, DA and his market, Luke and his market, like all these guys will have a say to some degree in what the best pathway is for the Lakers. But ultimately, the Lakers have to make a decision here. Do they want to operate above the cap or under the cap? There are pros and cons on both sides. I think they need a little bit more of an overhaul, a little bit more of a shakeup, but I understand the counterpoints. I understand the argument for going above the cap and how that could end up allowing you to retain a lot of what made last year's team so good, and then make some important tweaks around it potentially. But that will do it for today's show. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll talk to you then.